To 1 Timothy chapter 4 in your Bibles. We're also going to display it on the screen this morning, but it's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 10, and verse 1 to 8 will be up on the screen. Let's read together. The Spirit clearly says that in the later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come from hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. If you point these things out to brothers and sisters, you'll be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we've put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially for those of those who believe. So this morning, we can keep our Bibles open once again. How many of you participate in any form of wellness program? You know, kind of fitness, tracking, or you have to exercise to get a certain amount of points every week, and then you get a reward if you do it every week. Show of hands. Okay. Some people are like, Jan's got something behind this, so I'm not going to put my hand up. Getting to know me very well. In our society today, so much emphasis is placed on physical fitness to the extent where I think today we have more fitness and weight loss and wellness programs than ever before. And I think that trend is just going to keep on growing by the day. Most of these programs and gyms and even apps on our phones, you know, when we track what we ate this morning, a slice of toast, 100 calories. You know, now you've got to go to gym and burn off 101. You know, otherwise it's going to be useless, you know. But it helps. It helps. And in some of these apps, you know, you wake up in the morning and it tells you, today you've got to burn 800 calories and only consume 700 and you're going to be fine. Most of these gyms and programs and apps have the same principle in place. In order for us to achieve a particular fitness level, we first need to be educated and shown how fit we are. And for most of us, that's a daunting exercise because you've got to go into this room with a medical professional and they put you on a scale and they put things around you and measure this and measure that. And they're like, Jan, you've got some work to do. And they sell you this vision of Jan with a six-pack not wrapped in a cooler bag. And then I'm like, yes, I can. I really want to look like that. Hey, when we get this, you know, this energy for about 6 weeks, and we keep going. But most of these wellness programs, they've got like rewards built in, because they think they know, and they've come to know our human nature that after 6 weeks we really need some motivation to remember what that six pack looks like, and to go back and exercise again and again and again. And after a goal, you receive a reward, and so forth. For so many people, this seems to work, and work extremely well, as they move closer and closer to that six-pack. And don't get me wrong. Don't get scripture wrong. Physical training, as verse 8 says, is really good. And most medical professionals would agree that unless we spend some serious time on our physical fitness, we will never enjoy this life to its full. I can't run with a torn hamstring. Anybody else in the room? But if you train your body and that hamstring grows in strength, then maybe one day you can run the Comrades, but you're on your own. Many physical fitness programs are out there. But the verse goes on to say that spiritual training is of more importance. And so maybe the question that we've got to ask ourselves today, if a spiritual health or fitness day points monitor had to exist, what would our reading be right now? If you had to open up that app and you click on it and it goes to that screen with a wheel or a chart, what would our spiritual fitness reading be? Where after 30 minutes of intense Bible reading, you get a certain amount of points towards your weekly goal. And the same goes for prayer. The same goes for church attendance, Bible studies, and so forth. Maybe the bigger question is, what would our goal, points goal, be every week? Would it also increase every time you achieve your goal? An increase? Maybe it should. Or maybe it doesn't even need to. What would our weekly fitness goal be? Spiritual fitness goal. Let's unpack our text today with that in mind. You should know very well by now that when Paul was writing to Timothy, he was writing into a context in Ephesus where false teachings were on the rise. Was very evident, and it was no surprise to Paul because he was warned by Jesus and the apostles that this would happen in that time and even in the time that we live in now, where false teachers are abound, loving money and attention, distorting the truth, dividing churches, causing many to go astray as they follow lying spirits and teachings that don't come from God. We don't have to spray very far to know what we're talking about. And I hope you caught that. Ben, did you catch that? Oy vey. I'll say it again. You don't have to spray very far in order to know what false teaching is. The doom pastor, like, really, people. Hey, I should just stick to preaching and leave comedy for Trevor Noah. Hey? In this context, Paul's concern was, yes, for the false teachers, but more for those who are being deceived by the false teachings. Some of the members in Ephesus turned away from the truth about the Christian faith, even though they appeared to still be faithful believers. They pretended to be religious, but their consciences were dead and their actions completely contradicted what they believed. This happened because in that context, some of the church members started to follow Greek philosophy that believed the body was evil and only the soul mattered. These false teachers believed that the God of creation could not be good because he came in touch with the physical creation and therefore was stained. The crazy thing is that these Greek-influenced believers honored Jesus, but they could not believe that he was truly human. And so Paul knew these teachings, and he knew that if he left them unchecked, it will greatly distort the Christian truth. Friends, today this is happening at an alarming rate, with doom cans flying around. And if we are not well-trained, well-equipped, with biblically grounded faith, we will fall into the same trap. We might be wise enough to know that doom's not going to spray away any evil spirits. But false teaching can be so subtle and at times extremely direct. And so how do we guard ourselves, as Paul tells Timothy, how do we guard ourselves against false teachings? We've got to know the truth. In verse 3 and 4, Paul presents the fallacies that these Ephesian Christians believed, and then he teaches them the truth about the gospel. These false teachers, to give you a bit of context, perhaps under Jewish influence, gave strict rules about forbidding marriage and demanding abstinence from certain foods. Remember, they always had arguments about pork. And I'm very grateful that we've grown past that, and we can all enjoy bacon and egg rolls just now. But they were influenced not just like that, but in many, many other ways. And later, today, these teachings became part of what we know as Gnosticism, a belief that the spiritual world is good, but the physical world is evil. In their context, anything done for the body's pleasure or to fulfill its needs was seen as evil, such as intimacy with a loved one or just enjoying an exotic meal together. In this context, if you wanted to be good, you had to follow these false teachings. Stop eating bacon. Don't marry anybody that doesn't look like they belong to your clan. And so Paul explained earlier in a letter to the Ephesians in chapter 5, a Christian understanding of marriage. And even though Paul at certain times advised that it might not be a good idea to get married, he upheld and supported fully the Christian idea of God-ordained marriage as an illustration of Christ's relationship to his church. And he, in so doing, denied the false teaching that it's wrong to be married. Aren't you happy? If you're married, it's okay. I'm going to heaven. I didn't commit an eternal sin. It's okay. But he did this, and then he also taught them about food. Abstinence from food for the sake of prayer, what we today call fasting, is an incredible part of training for godliness. Kind of teaches your body very quickly who you should rely on for sustenance. Not that burger, but the Lord. And so saying that it's wrong to eat certain food doesn't make a person any better than anybody else. You see, verse 4 challenges this false teaching very directly. Because God created this physical world. And do you remember what he said after he created everything, even the pigs who don't fly? He said it was good. It was good. The ostrich, good. Squid, good. Anything else that you, in my name, give thanks for, good. Because through the word of God and prayer, it's declared good. And so when somebody in today's context parks a trailer down the road and says we should stop eating cows and donkeys, okay, maybe you stop eating donkeys, but, you know, sheep and all that kind of stuff. We can declare with the word of God that no, those things are good. It's good to eat a cow as long as it's dead. Hey? And those pictures are very disturbing, and often when I drive past them, I have this natural inclination to go buy a piece of vinyl sticker and stick on there, God declared these things good, so we can eat it. And if you want to, like, just eat apples and bananas for the rest of your life, it's good. But that's your decision. Stop doing the trailer stuff. It doesn't work. As Christians, we must recognize God's hand in all the pleasures of his creation and thank him for it because he has declared it to be good. That doesn't mean that we should abuse it, though. For example, gluttony abuses God's gift of food. Lust abuses his gift of love. Murder, his gift of life. Instead of abusing, we should enjoy these things and serve and honor God in and through them. But our text doesn't just stop by revealing to us some of the false teachings that are very evident even in our times. It tells us to avoid the junk. In modern day language, avoid godless ideas and old wives' tales. Some translations say, don't have anything to do with worthless and senseless stories. And that's why I haven't bought the sticker and stuck it on the trailer. Avoid the junk. Take the next off-ramp onto the highway or off the highway. Using our fitness analogy again, we should avoid anything that would hinder our journey to spiritual fitness. Let's avoid the junk food, the quick takeaway that only satisfies for a little while and has no real substance. Friends, we must do all that we can avoid to avoid these fake imitations of God's truth that only feed our flesh instead of our souls. We are bombarded these days by books, hey? How to be a good parent. Like, it's all in the Bible. How to be a good boss and employee. It's all in the Bible. How to be a good teacher and student. It's all there. With incredible depth and incredible truth. And these how-to guides, they might be good for us, but their superficial foundations quickly demolish when they face the storms of life. Fake junk food, when compared to the deep, eternal-nourishing word of God, will never sustain us. Chatting about the latest trend and stories on the news has some value, but all these chats have very little support in the storms that we face and just everyday life, not to mention the eternal value. So how about from today, we look at that spiritual fitness monitor again. And instead of spending time talking about godless ideas and old wives' tales, how about we start spending time talking about God and what He is doing in our lives? That doesn't mean that you've got to always walk around with your Bible under your arm and every conversation, hey, this morning I read this. What do you think? But how about we have conversations around the braai and allow God into that conversation every now and then? Around the dinner table. How about we turn off the television? Just go, hey honey, how was your day? Where was God in it today? And then turn Paw Patrol back on before James starts screaming. Hey? Friends, our spiritual training is more important than that points monitor. And I think some of us, I'm guilty of this. I look at my schedule for the week and I make sure that there are at least 3 events in that week where I get 300 points for my fitness goal so that next week I get that thingamabob we selected then, oh, only 45 points this week. I really wanted that voucher, that aircraft voucher, flying to wherever. Has it ever come up on any of your screens? Never. We need to talk to that company. We won't mention the name. But how about you and I spend some time rescheduling our week? And if you want to play the spiritual fitness monitor game, you can allocate. It's up to you. Allocate a spiritual fitness goal to yourself. And say, okay, church counts 300 points. Praying every day should count 900 points. And then you get to a comfortable goal. And how about when you get to that goal, you notch the target up just 1 point. And next week you try again, and try again, and try again. Promise you this, start your own personal spiritual health fitness journey. And your walk with God will never be the same again. You'll look back and go, I can't believe my first goal was 100 points. I'm cruising at 2,000 and I'm not even trying. And then maybe just notch it up again and again. Friends, you and I are meant to leap into heaven, not limp into heaven. Going, God, I just made it this week. I hope I'm okay. Remember what Janine said earlier and what Amy prayed and Jason prayed. Our entrance into heaven is guaranteed through Jesus Christ. But I'm sure that for all of us, we want to be able to walk into heaven and go, yes, Lord, I have fought the good fight. I have run the race. Yes, last week, I got 900 points on my spiritual fitness monitor. And God goes, I know. It was awesome, wasn't it? I really enjoyed chatting to you this week so many times. Welcome. Wouldn't that be awesome, then going into the doors of heaven? Yeah, God, that spiritual fitness monitor, oh, you know, can we talk about this? You're still, come in. Come and enjoy heaven. But do you notice the difference? Running into heaven or kind of walking in? I would rather run into heaven. And I think when we train and we have our focus and our minds on Christ more often, just like that fitness points monitor, every day you wake up and it's like 900 points this week, reminds you to keep growing and growing in your relationship with God. I hope that for every single one of us, we would start doing that. Verse 6, Timothy was challenged to feed on the Word of God. Allocate the Word of God some points this week. Allocate prayer some points this week and keep growing. Like a disciplined athlete, we must pursue the development of our spiritual lives all the time. Even the best athletes in this room, those who run the comrades and do the doozy, eh? Guys, train like monsters. You see them in the gym and on the river, they're pumping iron. And I kind of go, well, one day, Eric. Okay. But Eric inspires me from a physical point of view. This inspires me to want to get onto my fitness and work at it. I hope that we can do that spiritually too. That we could inspire each other and come here next week and go, hey, Jan said I must create this spiritual fitness app. Check this out, bro. Check my points. Or people would notice your points a mile away. Just go, man, that person is spiritually fit. I want to become just as fit as they are. I want to pray like they pray. Quote scripture like they do. Worship like they do. So that all of us can one day utter the same words that Paul did. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. We can only do this if we know the truth of the gospel. Because we get challenged every single day by a bunch of false teachings all the time. If we know the truth about the gospel and we test these things against that truth, we'll be able to walk this life faithfully to the end and keep fighting the good fight. We can only do that if we ensure that we consume proper spiritual nourishment every day and never stop growing. We've said it before, and we'll keep saying it until we can't say it anymore. Never stop growing. We should only stop growing when we can't physically grow anymore because we are with the Lord. So imagine that spiritual growth monitor. What would your reading be right now? And what do you think your target should be? Have you stalled in your spiritual growth journey to the extent where your targets have stayed the same or are non-existent? If that's you today, ask the Lord to awaken within you, to build within you again a passion for Him like never before. An energy to help you get off that spiritual couch and start following God with passion and energy again. Put on those spiritual tackies and get back on track with God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask for your help in this. You challenge us to be holy, for you are holy. And we ask that you would help us in this training for godliness. Help us grow spiritually, Lord. Help us get off that spiritual couch and start living for you with passion again. God, you know every single person in this room today. You know whether we are sitting on that couch or whether we are running the race faithfully. We ask today that you would help us, whether we're on track or not, to keep growing, keep feeding ourselves with good spiritual nourishment. And avoid all the junk, the godless chatter and the old wives' tales. Avoid anything that would hinder our walk with you. And help us to finish our race and finish it well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.